This is Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams, and week one is not over. Week one is still upon us. You may see I've got a swollen lip here. You know, look, that's what happens. You go out, you talk the way I did, you talk the way Aaron Brand did at Irmo. These things can happen. We will start right there. What we want to do is every Saturday, we're going to bring you a special edition of Four Quarter Friday, and we are going to recap what happened, and in this case, still look ahead, spin it ahead, because we have suspended games, we have games still happening, and we have games all the way up through Monday. So week one has been elongated here in the Palmetto State. That is Rob Williams, and Rob, to me, the highlight of what happened last night was Rock Hill goes down to Irmo, a team I picked to win the 4A state championship. Rock Hill is a team that had a lot of transfers, a lot of question marks. We know they've got talent, and last night they put it on display.
Yes, Mitty. You know, first of all, the lip is fat. We're gonna have to talk about that here in just a few minutes when we get off. For me, I don't think I've changed, slept, eaten. Nope. I've got the same hat. Shout out to Hewitt Domenduros for the swag. The glasses are still on, Smitty. But you know what? If you didn't bring your notes today, or even if you did, throw them out the window, because all we have to do is go to fourquarterfriday.com, where we have a scores list complete from last night. You can go to the article from Thursday night to get those scores. And just as we went on the air, Smitty, a list of all games to be played today and Monday, now up on fourquarterfriday.com, you can get the full slate. So we don't even need notes, Smitty. We can run down the scores and we can run down the slate all at fourquarterfriday.com. We're here to bring you the latest. Rock Hill goes to Irmo. You said it. A lot of talk kind of went both ways. Leon Boulware maybe pulled some punches after the game, but wasn't a completely shy. We'll put it that way. He had a few things to say, and our guy Harrison was there on the sideline to catch up with him. We'll have that here in just a few minutes as well. So many things happening around the states. I mean, how in the world, you know, college football on opening weekend has the Labor Day slate where we start on Thursday and it runs all the way through Monday. High school decided maybe they just needed to try that out for themselves this year. Every day except for Sunday, we're going to get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, high school football games in week one.
Really cool. So we're going to have Jenkins Dwight join us in a few minutes. He was there. He is a play-by-play broadcaster by trade, but he was there at Spartmer Gaffney working for us as a correspondent. We're going to bring him in and ask him what he saw. And if you missed the score there, again, fourquarterfriday.com, we've got them for you. Gaffney knocks off Spartan High 24-20. But I want to start in the low country because there were some statement games, and then we'll work our way up through the Midlands and up to that Spartanburg-Gaffney game and Dorman Hillcrest and others with Jenkins Dwight in just a few minutes. But, Rob, in the low country, Somerville put it on Sumter 28-7. There were some that thought maybe in week one, Drew Marlowe could get it going that quickly with Sumter because of the talent that was there. It didn't work out that way. Of course, on the other side of the field is Somerville, who's absolutely a state championship contender. But I thought it was telling that Somerville gave Sumter, a team that with a quarterback I like, with weaponry that I like, and with a head coach who's known for the ability to put points up in Drew Marlowe, they couldn't do it against that Green Wave defense.
No, and it's an interesting matchup, like you said, Smitty. Justin Hall said last night with me on 107.5 The Game, kind of ho-hum in terms of what the final score was. You expect more from Frank the Tank there with the Gamecocks. What was the issue getting it going for Sumter? I'm not really sure exactly what was holding them back. Or is it just that Somerville's defense is going to be that good? We have reports from around the state of the ability to make explosive plays and make things happen that aren't there by Frank Richardson. We've gotten that from coaches across the state. Unsolicited, actually. Coaches have brought him up to me. So I don't think it's a lack of talent on Sumter's side. Maybe, Smitty, is this a testament of what Ian Rafferty has at Somerville? Number 7 preseason? Could we see them move up this week and have a bigger opportunity to get something done here in later in the season? We don't want to overreact, but we do want to draw some observations and conclusions this week. That was one of the big games in the Lowcountry. It was one of them, Smitty. A lot to learn.
Oh, yes.
But we had Jamar McCoy this week. We had Jamar McCoy this week, and his Trojans stuck it to Oceanside 41-21. Brady Dantzler did what he told us on Thursday that needed to be done, controlled the offense, moved the football. It was 21-0 in the first quarter, and they came out and hit Oceanside in the mouth. So a good start for Jamar McCoy and the Trojans, Smitty.
Incredible start. And, I think it is unexpected. I think it's unexpected that Oceanside couldn't get anything going. That's what really surprises me, the way that that game got out of hand, because this is an Oceanside club. It's not just about talent. It's not just top-down from the coach, quarterback, who have done it for 3 years in a row. It's also about the fact that you know how to play winning football. And they could feel this game getting away from them, and they couldn't do anything about it. But J.I. is really good, and Jamar McCoy told us they were going to be really good heading into the season. I absolutely think they're a contender. And look, Oceanside's still a 3A contender. Nobody's ready to pick against Oceanside at the 3A level. We had a lot of cross-classification matchups last night. Plenty of upsets. Plenty of times where the lower-class team defeated the upper-class team wasn't the case. Down there at James Island, though.
No, it was not. This one, I think, Smitty, is the one that I have the most tendency to overreact to. We've seen what Oceanside can do. We saw them against Irmo last year. Classification doesn't seem to matter for those guys. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't really think this was a situation where that needed to be a factor in the conversation. James Island got it done. We'll see with that schedule. Their schedule is horrendous. And we just, talked about it with Jamar McCoy. But they're going to have to now go to South Florence, who lost to Hilton Head handily yesterday. Defense a little questionable. Maybe that one looks different. Then they have to go to Gray Collegiate, who lost 50-21 up at Chambers. How healthy is Xavier Wright? Says he'll be 100% week 2, definitely week 3. But maybe those two games now, the momentum is on the side of James Island, backs against the wall for the Bruins and the War Eagles. I don't know. Some of these quote unquote tough schedules now, Smitty, are going to have a little bit of a different flavor.
Well, there's no question. No, and nobody wants to see. Look, who wants to see J.I. on their schedule right now?
Nobody.
Would you want to line up and play that team right now the way they can score? 38 points a game last year, 41 last night against Oceanside Collegiate.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We've got some great stuff happening in our chat box. If you are watching this morning, please jump in there. Our friend, of course, J.C. Sherbert, statements from Strom Thurmond, James Island, Rock Hill, Somerville. Yep. We will talk about some of these other games. We've mentioned 3 out of those 4 right there. Our guy Harrison, who we'll hear from one of his clips here later on in the show, was at Irmo and Rock Hill. Jayshon Culp, a name that he wants us to remember, the edge from Rock Hill, something that we reported on all the way back in the spring, and then I was able to see him last week at the Jamboree, the WRHI Jamboree in Football City, USA, and I told you, Smitty, he was the biggest player on the field when Rock Hill's defense was out there. But I questioned what he could do maybe with Nate Carson. Well, he proved me wrong. I don't know if he heard me say that or if there was enough motivation maybe coming from somebody else talking. But it got out there. And he was wreaking havoc. Strip sack, recovery, a little Jadeveon Clowney look, shall we say, for Jayshon Culp.
Yeah, that's and to me, that was what you said the biggest factor, and it's a reason, and you can go into this now, why you think Westside is a team that can contend at the 4A level because of what they've got at the defensive line. And similarly, maybe what Culp did to Irmo is what Westside could potentially do if those two met.
No doubt about it. So obviously on the offensive side, you have Bear Woods with Tajay Martin, Jay White. The weapons are there, and they showed it last night against Ashley Ridge all the way across the state, perhaps the longest travel of any team. Justin Hall looked it up last night, Smitty. 220-plus miles from Westside to Ashley Ridge. But it's not just that explosive offense. You teed me up there. Christian Webb Scott is a man among boys, number one player in the state in the class of 28, and he's coming off the edge. So if a matchup later in the season is going to be this Westside defensive front getting past Irmo's offensive line, if Jayshon Culp and Rock Hill taught us anything, it's that maybe there's some vulnerability there. It is week one, Smitty. Lots of cramps. Lots of cramps. How does that impact the overall result of the game? Well, if you have it on both sides, I'm going to call it a wash. But if you have key players out at key moments, maybe that says something. Smitty, we have Jenkins here standing by. You want to go ahead and bring him in?
Yeah, this is Jenkins Dwight.
Head up to the upstate.
Yeah, Jenkins
Dwight. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jenkins. And Jenkins, as I said, a play-by-play broadcaster by trade. And we employed Jenkins last night. We said, hey, if you're going to a game, he said, yeah, I'm going to go to Spartanburg-Gaffney. And we said, well, we want to get you on because I wasn't going to have that opportunity. I had a television game in the lower part of the state. Rob was in studio in Columbia trying to, you know, take a look. He was looking at it from, you know, he was like Iron Man, you know, looking at everything all at once. So we were so happy to get you, Jenkins, to be there at Spartan High Gaffney. So, hey, lay it out for us. Tell us about the atmosphere. Tell us how Gaffney got got the win, and tell us how Trenton Lynch, the star running back for Spartan High, looked.
Well, first of all, I mean, I couldn't have picked a better game to start the season off with. I mean, both crowds, obviously it was at Gaffney. They had a great crowd as always, but Spartanburg brought a really good crowd, and they were into it from the beginning. It was hostile. Great back and forth game. Both offenses really started slow. I think for a while through past the first quarter, Spartanburg only had like one first down. And if you would have told me after the first quarter, I would have said this might be first one to score wins. And then both offenses eventually got going. Starting with Spartanburg, Trenton Lynch, I believe he's a Rutgers commit. Man, he over 200 yards rushing. He's big. He's fast. He I know they lost, but like he stood out to me the most out of anybody. And there were a lot of good players. Defensively for both teams, what impressed me the most was how hard. Like I feel like normally week one, and there were the penalties. There was the normal week one sloppy play. But there weren't many missed tackles, even with these good running backs who played well. These two defenses hit hard. They were flying to the football. They were making plays in the secondary. Neither team really – they had their moments throwing the ball. There were some big plays, but both teams were run heavy last night. And it was back and forth, lots of momentum swings. I thought in the first half it looked like Gaffney was going to pull away, then Spartanburg would respond right back. And then in the second half it looked like Spartanburg was taking over and Gaffney would respond right back. And it was back and forth, and Gaffney, who finally just got the field goal off. I think they had three botched snaps inside the 20 on field goal attempts, and they finally hit one late to take the lead. And then Spartanburg, I mean, 2 minutes later, touchdown run from about 65 yards from Lynch, and then Gaffney went all the way down the field and scored. Hit on a big fourth down pass to the tight end, I believe – that was number 88, Davidson, who caught that pass on a fourth down and like 16 to set him up in the red zone. And then they were ultimately able to run it in and score and hold Spartanburg at midfield on a fourth down stop and get the win. I believe that was their 10th win in a row against Spartanburg in that matchup. And, man, it was a good one.
Jenkins, I want to talk a little bit about the lines of scrimmage. You mentioned the running game for both teams. A little bit of action through the air, but we know that these teams are going to be explosive. Spartanburg specifically wants to run the football. It seemingly did so with Trenton Lynch. We looked in the preseason a little bit at some feedback that we received that said maybe there was a question mark about Gaffney's lines of scrimmage, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. What did you see with the battle in the trenches between these two teams?
I thought both offensive lines started off slow, and they both got going. Gaffney as a left tackle, C.J. Brooks, I mean, that is a big, big dude, number 72. I think it was led by him. And I thought Gaffney's offensive line was more consistent, and they used a bunch of different running backs. Amari White, Peanut Bailey, who plays both sides, Dylan McKee. As far as Spartanburg, was just like, we're gonna get it to Trenton Lynch and let him work. And that worked too. But I thought Gaffney, like I said, started slow. But after that, I was impressed by their offensive line. I thought they were more consistent. I thought they were better in pass protection. And Spartanburg really, from about after the first quarter, second and third quarter, they could not stop Gaffney on the ground. And then they adjusted and they did a little bit better in the fourth. But ultimately, I thought Gaffney on the line of scrimmage was a little bit better. And Spartanburg was a little more inconsistent. Spartanburg had more penalties. So I thought that was kind of a big difference in the game. But Spartanburg, hey, they were pretty big up front too. And I think both these teams are going to be really good, especially by the end of the year. And that was the most like fundamentally sound game early I've ever seen in a high school defensively from both sides. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I mean, they were flying to the ball, making tackles. They looked like they were already playing in November and they've been doing it a while. So.
Well, that's partly what you get when you've got those two programs circling that game in the offseason. Everybody was pointing to it. I want to mention something quickly. Hold on, Jenkins, we'll get right back to you. But in the comments, we've got a few questions. And Pimp on a Blimp 89, which is that's an old handle that I had, and somehow you took it. But did Johnsonville play? Johnsonville and Lakeview are rescheduled. That is going to be Monday at 7 o'clock, and we're going to go over that before the show is up. We will go over for you all the games that have been moved to both today and Monday, because a lot of them got kicked all the way to Monday. We have a lot of SATs around the state, so that's happening today, and that's kind of throwing the schedule off. But back to what you saw, Jenkins, Gaffney at Spartanburg High School. So what I said, I mentioned you were a play-by-play broadcaster. A lot of what you've seen in recent years, and we'll see this year, is in the Florence area and in the Sumter area. So you've seen South Florence previously. You know what a state contender looks like. And yeah. Sumter, obviously, is always there in the playoffs. So tell me this. Did Gaffney look the part? 4A, going from 5A to 4A, does Gaffney have enough in your mind to challenge for a 4A state championship with Irmo and Westside and South Point and the other teams we talk about?
I do. Obviously, I mean, you could say this for every team this early. Everybody's got a long way to go still. I think eventually Gaffney needs to be able to throw the ball better. We're just going off one game last night. They had a couple of big plays. They obviously had the big fourth down play, but other than that, they kind of struggled to throw the ball, which they're obviously run first. They got three different running backs they can run it with, and I think their offensive line is going to get better and better. But I do. I think if that's one thing I had to guess that potentially caught my eye, like maybe they're not quite there yet, is their ability to throw the ball. But obviously they can get better and better throughout the year. But as far as talent on defense, up front, these running backs, I think you'd be silly to count them out.
Jenkins, we got to get you out of here in just a minute, but I got one more for you here. If you can tell us briefly, you mentioned the environment. I just want you to speak to those people that maybe are tuning in this morning. Maybe they caught us on the scroll. Maybe they want to hear the scores, but they didn't make it out to a game last night. You were at one of those classic matchups at one of the most well-known venues in the state. Even if your team isn't playing, can you speak a little bit about why people should go out to a game on a Friday night at the closest venue to them?
I mean, that was as, and I was like locked in, making sure I was keeping notes and stuff. But that was the most fun high school game I think I've ever been to. It helped that I was neutral and I didn't really matter who won. But I think there were probably a lot of people there last night who don't have a say in any of these teams that were there. But it's a fun thing to do on Friday night. Football season's the best time of the year. It's just great. It's just competitive, it's intense, and it's just really fun, and it's a good spot to be on a Friday night. I actually – so I started on Gaffney's side, and this is a credit to them. I had to go to the wayside because I was just like everybody's screaming, all the students in the ear everywhere. So I was like, I'm gonna go to Spartanburg side, and it wasn't much different over there. They had a good crowd too. So I mean, if you're just a sports fan or you like seeing teams and fans being passionate and competing, I mean that was the spot to be last night.
Man, well, we are so glad you were there, Jenkins. All right, tell us where you'll be in the coming weeks. As I mentioned, you've got the Florence and Sumter area. So what are you going to be doing, and how can we keep in touch with you?
Yeah, I'll be doing the Community Broadcasters Florence Game of the Weeks, like here and there every other week. I have a certain schedule. I think a lot of them are in September, and then I'll be doing some Sumter High stuff. I still don't have the dates on which Sumter High games I'm doing. I'm getting that this week. And if there's a week where I'm not doing either, which I'm not sure there's going to be, I'll be doing the same thing I did last night, just going to the probably important game up here in this area and just watching good football.
Man, I love it. Well, you did a fantastic job. We appreciate it so much. We'll be picking your brain. Obviously, Sumter, big loss in Drew Marlowe's first game. So we've got to get a report on that, Jenkins. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we'll let you go. Is Vezina or Tate Reynolds going to get more snaps against LSU?
Real quick before I answer that, I'm not sure how big of a deal it was. I heard Frank Richardson went down with an injury in the second quarter, and he was failing to put pressure on his left foot. That's what I was told,
Ooh.
yet to confirm. So I heard, and I don't know if he came back in or not, but that, because Sumter High was up 7-0, and then Somerville put 28 straight on him. So I don't know if that played a part or not. I'll have to see. But I think Mazina is going to win the job. I think the big question is not will Tate start, is will he get a drive or two? That I'm not sure. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Thank you, Jenkins. And hey, we'll talk to you again. Please, yeah, follow up with Franklin Richardson and be sure to get back to us at Four Quarter Friday.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Thank you. That is Jenkins Dwight. And I love that it was a great question, Rob, and it's a great answer. I get to do this a lot, which is go to all the different campuses and see all the different environments. And what I think is the best way I could put it, and it's why we do what we do at fourquarterfriday.com, they're all the same and they're all different. That's the fun part. I think it's really fun if you go to a different venue, at least if you have, like, you always go to the Gaffney game, or you always go to the Dutch Fort game, or whatever it might be. I agree with you and what Jenkins just said, which is the cool part. It's what the community we're trying to help create the hub for it, fourquarterfriday.com, which is go see what it's like across town. Go see what it's like one county away, because I think you'll find it's very much the same and it's very different, and it's worth it. It's so affordable. It's a great way to spend time with either a family or a friend. It's a great way to be a place to be on a Friday night in South Carolina.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I love it, Smitty. It's electric. It's the most fun thing that we get to do. No offense to everybody reading our stuff or jumping on a show, but I will just say I would prefer to be on the sideline. There, the atmosphere that you get in the stadium is why we all show up for sports. It's why we tune in. It's why we have a team that we pull for, and it's why we follow it throughout the week. And we're here to help you do that at fourquarterfriday.com. I got a couple of things here, Smitty. You talk about a big game in the upstate. We've talked about the low country. We've danced around this one in the Midlands. You brought it up to start off with game of the week, I think we could call it. Rock Hill at Irmo. Let's go ahead and follow up with some of these with these coaches. Our guy, Harrison Lutheran, was on site for us at Rock Hill and Irmo at W.C. Hawkins Stadium. And here is head coach Leon Boulware after the game with Harrison.
Four Quarter Friday here with Rock Hill High head coach Leon Boulware. Coach, just give me your thoughts on what y'all did tonight.
We played football the best of our ability. Our kids did a really good job. Some things, obviously, we got to clean up that I didn't like in the first and second half. But I'm proud of our kids to not quit. And that's something we talked about all summer.
Coach, talk about your defense. Two big late turnovers and then the strip sack in the first half, which really proved to be a difference in the game.
Some things to clean up. I mean, I keep telling people we got one of the best defenses in the state of South Carolina. We got to prove it every Friday night. So back to work on Sunday and try to prove it again next week.
Coach, what do you want to see from your offense?
We got to do a little better job of executing on first down. We got to continue to move the chains. Not bad for the first week, but obviously we got some cleaning up to do to get this thing rolling.
Just speak on your kicker, Coach. Big field goal right there at the end of the first half to really, really set y'all up later.
I told everybody earlier, we got the best kicker in the state of South Carolina. James Hecker put a lot of work and effort in, and we trust him, and so we're going to continue to ride that leg all year.
All right, thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Smitty, you know, I talked to Leon Bulwer after the game as well, and the initial message was, we got some work to do. Does that speak a little bit about his mindset going forward? You come in and get this big win. This game has been hyped up. Every outlet was there to cover it. They get it done on the road. And he says, well, we need to clean up this and this and this, and we can get better moving forward. Are the expectations inside the building at Rock Hill maybe a little higher than even what we've given them credit for in the preseason?
Yes. Yes, that's where I land with Rock Hill. I'm in. I'm in on Rock Hill because I want you to do it, Rob, because you know this. You had written a preseason article at fourquarterfriday.com. Give me the teams that have beaten Irmo in the last three seasons.
Northwestern in the state championship and Dutch Fork.
And now Rock Hill.
That's the list, yeah.
End of list. Yeah. Rock Hill's on that list. So Rock Hill's at that table. Yes, I am a believer because we heard about it. We were covering Rock Hill. We were hearing Leon Bulwer talk. Yes, give me the Rock Hill stock. I am right there with the Bearcats. I think they have been lying in wait like a boa constrictor in the weeds. And I think that was a statement. It was show me. I want to see it. I want to see that you guys can live up to all the talk. And they did. And we know what they have in the secondary. And if you're with fourquarterfriday.com, you can go check out, you know, like on three rivals. You can see that some of those players like Caden Watkins are players that are being looked at by, you know, by colleges, being recruited, now committed. No, it's real. I think the hype is real. I think it went from talk to action. I think it happened on Friday night. So, yes, I don't want to overreact to too many things. Maybe, as Jenkins said, maybe Frank Richardson went down and that was a big blow to Sumter and maybe they're going to bounce back. Maybe Somerville's not as good as I think they are. I do think they're a state championship contender. Maybe Spartan High is going to get better as the season goes on. But to me, what do I believe that just happened? I believe Rock Hill asserted themselves as a state championship contender in front of the world. That's what I think happened.
Okay, Smitty, we know everybody is here today for scores. I want to run through a few, and then we'll come back to that game and hear from Aaron Brand. We told you the Rock Hill scored 24-14 over Irmo. Let's run through the Midlands here. Lugoff Elgin, 41-25 over Chapin. Chapin, very competitive, but opens the Corey Helms era with a loss. Speaking of new eras, AC Flora, 31-21 over White Knoll. That is Willie Offord's first win. And a new White Knoll era under Vic Floyd as well. Newberry 27-0 over Union County. That was Brian Robinson's first game as head coach of the Yellow Jackets. Excuse me. Midland Valley 49-42 at Lexington. That one was back and forth wild all night. River Bluff 41-14 over Cane Bay. I spoke to head coach Perry Parks at River Bluff last night on 107.5 The Game after that one. And a lot of momentum for the Gators at the Swamp. Richland Northeast 38-9 in the rivalry game over Spring Valley. DeMarcus Simons comes in on a short notice, hired in the spring, barely gets the summer in, and the Cavaliers just roll it off 38-9 over their rival Spring Valley. He had a lot to say after that game about his ability to coach at this level and proving some doubters wrong. Gilbert 21-14 over Nation Ford. Northside Christian 55-16 over Thornwell. And Airport wins their first game since 2024, 34-7 over Pillion. Smitty, those are our scores and highlights from the Midlands. Let's You want to go to Aaron Brand here really quickly, and then we can put a bow on the Midlands and move on to a different region of the state?
Yeah, let's hear from Aaron Brand, because he was on Four Quarter Friday, joined us, and he was very confident. And look, he should be. He's got Division I talent across the board on both sides of the ball. And I kept talking about the track speed at the wide receiver position, who would win that matchup. Well, Rock Hill won that matchup. And Harrison Lutheran, who works with us at Four Quarter Friday, told us what really stood out to him was not just the fact that Rock Hill did what they did from the secondary, but Ty Phillips, some of that Division I talent that I'm talking about for Irmo, an Alabama commit, he was essentially stifled in the run game. And there's Harrison right there. Look, the run defense, biggest takeaway. Ty Phillips was a non-factor. And that's what Rock Hill's defense did last night to Irmo. So how will Aaron Brand react? So here's Irmo's head coach on the loss to Rock Hill.
Ourselves in the foot all night long, you know, the missed field goals, the not taking advantage of the field position, the turnovers, especially late when we had a chance to potentially take the lead. Just got to get back to the drawing board. We got to be better. We cannot keep self-inflicting, you know, ourselves into just bad situations. It's just, you know, I don't have any third and 32 plays. I don't have any fourth and 37 play calls, man. I just don't. And if we keep getting behind the sticks like that, we're going to be in trouble for a long time.
I mean, 20 plus penalties, I think. Just how do you?
Just
I mean,
for us?
Yeah.
Just that's the coaches. I mean, that's coaching. We just got to be better. We got to coach it better too. We got to coach it better. We got to behave better. We got to, especially in between the whistles. We're just so arrogant and not being able to answer the bell with that arrogance. And it's me. It's got to be me, because you can't say the things I said and expect your team to do the things that we did. Expect your team to do the things that we're supposed to do, and then just lay an egg. We laid an egg tonight. It's just not. It was not fun to coach tonight. No fun to coach.
Smitty, of course, that is Aaron Brand. And if you didn't recognize the voice there, that video, of course, from Lou Bajak at the state. Shout out to Lou for getting a great opportunity there with Coach Brand. We laid an egg tonight. That was the quote, acknowledging a little bit of the trash talk preseason. The expectations for Irmo going forward, they've got to turn the page as they look for the 4A run that we've been talking about all year. You got to flush week one and move forward. We'll see how they're able to do that. Obviously, it's not going to be the easiest road, and then they'll get into region play and go to Aiken every single week when they get there. So we'll see what happens with the Yellow Jackets. Any closing thoughts there before we move on to a different region? I think there was a game in the CSRA we need to hit as well.
Hit the CSRA, although I'll say, if legitimately there were 20-plus penalties for Irmo, I'm gonna have to text Lou Bajak from the state. If there were 20-plus penalties for Irmo, that I look at that two ways. One is, I mean, Aaron Brand is right. They obviously have to clean it up, and something wasn't clicking. There was a short circuit in the offseason. However, point two of that is, well, then that's the kind of thing you could clean up. And with all the talent that they have, then you certainly could right the ship. This is just one game, one loss. And look at it this way. Irmo is competing for the 4A state championship this year. Rock Hill's a 5A club. The reason that game was such a statement is because Rock Hill has not been a championship contender in a decade. And that's why that was a statement game. Irmo has been, but Irmo has fallen from 5A to 4A. So as this season progresses, Irmo is not going to have to beat Rock Hill. They have to, as Aaron Brand said, clean all that up, and then they're going to have to face a team like Westside or Gaffney or South Point for the state championship. That's got to be their focus.
Okay, yeah, I think it was 22 total penalties.
Hard to believe that's real. That sounds made up.
Ty Phillips did score the first touchdown of the game. It was called back on a holding penalty. So there's 7 points off the board in what ultimately became a 10-point game. Let's run through a few more scores here. I'm going to do PD Grand Strand as well as CSRA scores here, and we'll end with the big game down there in the Peach Fields. In the PD Grand Strand area, Ainer 30-16 over Georgetown. North Myrtle Beach, this was Smitty's game, 31-7 over Socastee. What did you see there, Smitty, really quickly as we run through these scores?
North Myrtle Beach has got talent. You know, last year, Jody Jenneret was the offensive coordinator at North Myrtle Beach, and that was going to be a run-heavy attack. Perry Wolbright has opened it up somewhat, utilizing the quick pass game. I mentioned Teron Scott because I saw him at the CMB kickoff classic, and I loved what he did. He had a 40-yard touchdown on a skinny post right down the seam. They ran that play for Teron Scott three or four times. They hit him once for a 33-yard touchdown. So they put that on film. I mean, you're going to see it. 6'2", runs like a gazelle. He's just a sophomore. And two sophomore quarterbacks for Perry Wolbright at North Myrtle Beach. They'll win some games. I don't think they're a fully formed product just yet, but they're going to win some games just with the talent and the way that Wolbright is going to be able to utilize it in both the quick pass game and then what he can do with Teron Scott over the top.
I love it. Lakewood in Jaron Devlin's first game as head coach, 28-26 over Andrews. Carver's Bay tops Latta 27-0. Let's go CSRA. Orangeburg, Wilkinson, and Fox Creek, that one is one that's going to go on our list for games being played today. And, Smitty, I'll just spoil it. That one's happening right now. Kickoff at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. South Aiken, 59-6 over Silver Bluff. And here's the one that we need to talk about. Strom Thurmond hosts rival North Augusta from down the road and wins the game 21-7. The defending 2A state champions take down their rival from 4A. Your thoughts, Smitty, on the Rebels and what Andrew Webb has there in the Peach Fields?
Well, perhaps that the combination of what Strom Thurmond has coming back with AJ Hillary is just going to be too much in 2A. I mean, look, I saw Marlboro County, which I think they were super impressive. I haven't seen Dillon yet. Their game is being rescheduled against Camden. You got Dillon and Camden who have yet to play. So I want to get my eyes on Dillon to know what they've got, but I think the Rivals composite had Strom Thurmond as the top-ranked 2A.
That's correct.
At fourquarterfriday.com. Well-deserved. And, look, it kind of shut me up a little bit because I thought that the Rebels were going to have problems with that Yellow Jackets front, which doesn't just feature Simeon Jones Jr., who's 300-plus pounds and moves like a cat. I thought they were going to have problems overall protecting A.J. Hillary. They must not have. So we've got to get our eyes on them. As I said, I've seen Marlboro County, want to see Dillon, and now I really want to see Strom Thurmond as well to see who the class of 2A may be. But that combination, good coaching, returning talent, plus A.J. Hillary, and as you said, that's a name that echoes through the Peach Fields with all the Hillaries that have come through there and built a legacy. What can you say? Strom Thurmond, like I said, highest-ranked 2A team in the Rivals composite at fourquarterfriday.com. Check mark right there for the computers.
Yeah, it brings up a question for me. And let me jump over to the chat box here and highlight this really quick. Our man JB is in here. Wando taking first step towards undefeated season last night. Bring on Dutch Fork, he says. We will get to Wando in just a few minutes as we run through the low country scores, JB. Don't you worry about it. I skipped over that Faces for Radio comment. Not going there right now. We'll address that off air.
Yes, look, man. Yes, I've got a swollen lip here. So, what do you think? Do you think you travel around, you go to Bennettsville like I go to Bennettsville, and you just come back unscathed? No. No, what happened is, I actually have a swollen lip. This happens if I don't have sleep. I have a condition, and if I don't sleep, my face swells. So, there you go. And I think everybody that has been... If you're in our chat box, you know right now we haven't slept in three days because...
Welcome to the rest of the season, Smitty. Welcome. Every weekend.
Week one is never going to end.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right, no sleep zone at Four Quarter Friday and fourquarterfriday.com. Yeah, you mentioned Strom Thurmond. So my last comment here before we go on to some other scores is, you know, I talked to Donovan McNabb a few weeks ago at Ramon Robinson's quarterback legacy camp. He coaches in Arizona, and they have a function there where if you are one of the top schools in your classification, they have a separate playoff bracket that spans all classifications. So if you're at the top, then you automatically go up to a different playoff bracket. If you lose game one, you bump back down to your classification bracket. If you win game one, then it's just losing, you're out. So it raises the question for me, how many of these teams could be competitive in an all classifications bracket. Obviously, we know what Dutch Fork and Northwestern can do, and I think they would probably be able to take care of most schools in lower classifications, certainly if you get down to Class A, 2A level, just sheer numbers-wise. But a school like Strom Thurmond is a 2A school, takes down a 4A school from down the road, 7-0 halftime score, a 99-yard touchdown run for the Rebels later in that game to put them up 21-7. And, you know, on one hand, they put up 21 points. On the other, they held North Augusta to 7. What about the Rebels' defense? Something that we haven't really mentioned as much. So what do they do if you obviously if you put them in competition at the 3A or 4A level? Could they truly be competitive week in and week out? They've got a lot of talent over there.
Yeah, look, obviously coming off the state championship, and we have a comment here in the chat box that, and this is a good report, Hillary just completed one pass last night. Apparently Strom Thurmond had a kickoff return and an interception return to the 3-yard line. So as you to your point, this Rebels defense, it didn't matter that they had the transfer quarterback. That's the same defense from last year. There are some teams. Marlboro County returns 20 of 22. I think what is Strom Thurmond? Is that 18 of 22 that they're bringing back to a state championship?
It's a big number. I don't have the number. It's a big number.
Bamberg Earhart at 1A is returning 18 of 22.
Correct.
Some of these lower classification teams, it's almost like sorry for the competition because these guys were spanking everybody last year like Strom Thurmond was. And then they went ahead and brought back all these key pieces. It's going to be an uphill battle in 2A and 1A. If you're one of those teams trying to climb the next rung, good luck getting past Bamberg, Earhart, Marlboro County, Strom Thurmond, and the others.
Smitty, JB's still here in the chat box. Wrong comment. He said he went to Bishop England last night, where, by the way, my cousin William Donato got in at quarterback and had a game-winning 30-yard touchdown run. But he says he was doing just fine. They didn't want all this. So you went to Bennettsville and got a swollen lip. He went to Bishop England, and they couldn't,
well,
they couldn't
that
handle.
That was smart. You go to the private school campus. Yeah, you go to the private school campus. It's different where I'm going to be.
All right, since JB is so active, let's run through some low country scores here as we still have three of our areas to make it through, score recaps, and, of course, games today. And Monday, we mentioned Somerville 28-7 over Sumter and Wando 18-3 over West Ashley. Lucy Beckham tops Fort D 29-7. Bishop England, we just mentioned there, over Porter Gowd 14-7. Hilton Head 38-32 over South Florence. Late push there from the Bruins, but that one was a lot. There was a bigger gap earlier in the game. Westside 39-14 over Ashley Ridge. That one was called a little early. Augusta Christian 33 over John Paul Catholic, 10. First Baptist, 47. Academic Magnet, 0. Bluffton, 29. Savannah Country Day, 7. Hampton County tops Collin County, 33-0. Hanahan and Phillip Simmons. This was one of the more intriguing and fun games of the night. It was the TV game there in the low country. 34-33, Hanahan wins this one after going up big, a big comeback from the Iron Horses there at Phillip Simmons, and Hanahan hangs on 34-33. Hardyville 22-20 over Beaufort. James Island, we mentioned, 41-21 over Oceanside, and Battery Creek 22-6 over Whale Branch. Now, if you thought that was a long list, Smitty, we'll get to the upstate games in just a minute, but tell me what sticks out there.
Well, let me go back. I want to go all the way back, though, because I know our friend Bruin has concerns about South Florence taking a loss to Hilton Head.
But he's in here somewhere.
Hey, B.J. Payne at Hilton Head has been quietly building a power. We have not been paying attention to Hilton Head, you know, often because they're away from some of the other power schools. You know, Hilton Head's tucked away down there. We all know about that. They check your tax return when you come in to make sure they get your credit report, make sure you can come into the area. Coach Payne has been building something there somewhat quietly. You know, that's not a program that, you know, that's not Somerville. That's not Gaffney. That's not Abbeville. That's not somebody we talk about. Don't take it personally, South Florence. Hilton Head was a third round playoff team a year ago. They're good. They're legitimate. I think South Florence will bounce back. I think they're in for a good season. I'm just not surprised. Hilton Head they won double digit games last year. I think they won double digit games in 2024. They're going to win double-digit games again under B.J. Payne. They are just legitimate. They're just tucked away down there a little bit.
I think they really get forgotten about, Smitty. You're talking about it, tucked away down there. But it just sometimes it feels like that team, I don't know. It's one of those corners of the state where the rest of the state can kind of almost say, well, you know, yeah, it's Hilton Head down there. And if you're not good, then it's really easy to be forgotten about. Not the case this year. Hilton Head's going to cause a problem for a lot of teams on their schedule, and that was apparent last night with South Florence. South Florence, tough road ahead. James Island coming up next week. Scott Braswell not really getting an easy step into his tenure as the head coach there for the Bruins. But a lot of good stuff. I want to say thanks to everybody tuned in right now. We got a lot of people jumping in for scores and updates, analysis. Smitty, let's talk a little bit about the upstate. I'm going to go through the scores here in just a minute. We already talked Spartanburg-Gaffney. A lot of weather in the upstate last night. A lot of weather in the upstate. A couple of games that got called, I'll mention here, and we can kind of give thoughts. We talked to Matt Real earlier this week. They were up 7-0 on Southside Christian. The question right now is whether that's going to be a no contest or a forfeiture, because it was late in the first quarter, as opposed to like Burns up 7-0 on Independence. That was only about 2 or 3 minutes into the game. That one is declared a no contest. Trey Segura went 50-plus yards for a touchdown on like the third play of the game. Just broke free. Can't be touched. So we can see a little bit, just a tiny glimpse, Smitty, of what the Rebels are going to do in Duncan. But we'll get more of them next week as they go to Dorman in a non-region matchup. Dorman takes care of Hillcrest last night, but that was a late one. 1:30 when that one finished up. Any thoughts on the Cavaliers and what happened against Hillcrest last night? We've talked about Hillcrest in the trenches. That was a high scoring game, Smitty, for Dorman to be so late, 40-30 over Hillcrest. I'll run through the rest of the upstate here in just a moment, but I want to give a minute for the number 6 team in the state. What are your thoughts
on your Cavs? I think the fact that that game went to 40-30, I think that's a testament to Hillcrest, because I already know what Dorman has. They're going to be talented. They're going to run Nick Means and Carter Nash. They're going to be fine throughout the season. I just think Hillcrest is really strong. You said you got great reports about what they had along the front line during the preseason, kind of coming into the year, and I just think Hillcrest is going to be a load. I think you're going to give a lot of teams a problem. So I don't think it's a problem for Dorman. They're going to be good. They're going to be there in November. I just think Hillcrest is a team we have to keep an eye on. I think that they didn't back down, and that's what they're building there with the Rams.
Yeah, you know, there was a play at one point in the game, Smitty. A couple of things. We saw some big hits yesterday. Caden Watkins for Rock Hill with a bone-crushing hit. We saw the hit on the Nation Ford quarterback that Jake Bentley had questions about. And then also, you look at Jackson Free for Hillcrest, shaken up a little bit on a big hit and had to go out of the game for just a few minutes. So, you know, you question, is that a factor in the game when your quarterback goes out? I think so. Let's run through a few of these upstate scores. Everybody get a nice sip. I'm going to grab a sip of the coffee here, because this is the longest list of scores, the biggest area of the state. We mentioned Gaffney, Spartanburg, Dorman, Hillcrest already. T.L. Hanna, 17-14 over BHP. That was a top 25 matchup. T.L. Hanna hits the field goal as time expires. The Jackets start 1-0. New era for BHP. Don't count them out. This is not the time to overreact about BHP. They are still going to be a factor. Daniel, one of the top teams in 3A, 42-28 over Wren. Lawrence, 43-34 over JL. Man, Greg Porter and the Lawrence Raiders going to have something to say about what's going on in that area of the state as well. Landrum, 32-21 over Walhalla. Pendleton tops Palmetto, 21-11. Greenwood takes care of business against Riverside, 33-7. A young Greenwood team. We talked to Chris Liner in the offseason, talked about that sophomore class that's coming up, trying to build something. Maybe they didn't look so young in week one. Emerald, 21-6 over Crescent. Powdersville tops Seneca, 28-12. Chapman gets it done on night two, 26-6 over Eastside. That game started Thursday, suspended to Friday. Couldn't finish on Friday, but it was called. Made it far enough in the game to count it. St. Joe's 35-21 at Blue Ridge. Branchville tops Whitmire 38-30. Greenwood, I mentioned already. And Greer, 45-31 over Woodmont. West Oak, 42-8 over Calhoun Falls. Ambassador Christian comes down and tops Mountain View Prep, 21-14. Pickens, 61-41 over Easley. Talk about no defense in that one. And then Southside gets a win, 18-13 over Dixie. Those are your upstate scores. Smitty, anything that kind of stands out when we go over the upstate?
Well, for me, I think that Greenwood is now a team to watch for as well. I think we're just going to have to. That's just it. I mean, you know, for us it was a wait and see, and now through week one, we knew they were talented. As you mentioned, we had Chris Liner on talking about it. It's a program that has a tremendous amount of pride, a community that has a lot of pride. You know they weren't going to go, you know, take too many steps back. And now, to me, that was an eye-opening score. Again, we don't want to overreact to things in week one, but we're going to check with Coach Liner and say, hey, is this real? Are you real? And we're going to cover Greenwood like a team befitting their tradition and level of talent. And we'll certainly follow up with Coach Liner and have him back on soon, because that one was one that my eyebrows raised a little bit, that score.
I agree. I think that it does stick out, because here's the thing. You talk about Riverside. Riverside's got a couple of pieces. Mm-hmm. This is not your typical Riverside team. They've got some athletes. They've got a quarterback. So yeah, to go down to Greenwood and lose 33-7 talks a little bit, you know, that whole idea of MIG made in Greenwood. They wear it on their jerseys. It's mm-hmm. It is the mantra of Greenwood in the transfer era, Smitty. Chris Liner raising up the next generation. Tristan Lewis, obviously their leader from last year, quarterback, now a corner at South Carolina in Columbia. Played through an injury in the loss to Gaffney in the playoffs last year, and now they have to kind of bring up this next group, but still experienced in the trenches. And if that's enough to get those young athletes going and they gain some experience early, who cares if they're sophomores? It's not going to much matter when they get into open space.
That's right. And I'm seeing sophomores make plays in the games that I put my eyes on and the jamborees that I've been to. I'll say this as well. We have to remember venues matter. Greenwood's a tough place to play. That's why I say don't sleep on Spartan High, because they had that tough trip going to win at the reservation. That's a lot to ask. So Gaffney gets the win, which brings us and Oceanside at James Island, right? It's not that long a trip. It's actually 2 hours with traffic from Mount Pleasant to James Island, but it's only about 30 miles from Oceanside to James Island's campus. But tough trip. Jamar McCoy told us earlier this week, it's a killer atmosphere right now. The fans, they do it right on Friday night at James Island. So that's a tough place to go play. That is why, to me, exclamation point, put a stamp on it, circle it, remember it. Rock Hill went down to Irmo and got that win in week one.
Yep.
At their house. I'm telling you, that to me stands out above all else today, because it doesn't surprise me that Greenwood can hold serve at home, that Gaffney can hold serve at home, that James Island can hold serve at home, that Dorman can hold serve at home. Rock Hill went on the road to Irmo into, I was going to say Hornet's Nest, Yellow Jacket's Nest.
Yeah.
In front of all those crazed fans, and everybody was watching because of all the smack talk leading into it, and they got the job done, and they won with a physical style of play. That's why that one stands out to me.
All right, let me run over these Rock Hill area scores really quickly, and then we'll turn the page, Smitty, to what is happening today and Monday. From Thursday and last night, Fort Mill 28-7 over Clover in the opening game of Clover head coach Bennett Swigert's tenure up there. Catawba Ridge tops Blythewood 24-6. Wagner Sally 48-0 over Great Falls, and Indian Land went up to Harding Thursday 49-0 for Indian Land. maybe a team to keep an eye on there as well. Smitty, fourquarterfriday.com has it for you. Score updates for everything that we know. We've got now the South Carolina times updated Saturday and Monday. Smitty, I think you have a couple that maybe I missed. We're going to add those in. We'll keep it going. Thoughts before we turn the page. Anything else that we missed on your end, or is it time to look at our slate today? It's time for a little football. Everybody is here. We're tuned in. We're paying attention. No college football yet, so we got a full day, 9 a.m. start for high school football on a Saturday, running through the course of the day.
Absolutely, and we got a question here. Gamecock 346 asks me, and I'm going to respond to this one because it's a team I put eyes on. It says, I'm Smitty. I think it means, hi, Smitty. How good is Carson Roberts, Marlboro County? How good do you think he will be? I loved him. He caught a long touchdown pass from Trey Blakeney, Marlboro County. I've told you several times, you've got the Percy Harvin clone quote.
Yeah.
Marlboro County looks like they have got 5 point guards out there at the skill position players, including their quarterback. And Roberts is one of those receivers that he can utilize. I just thought that Marlboro County team is going to be impossible in space. They know what they're doing. They return 20 of 22 guys. Corey Johnson, head coach for the Bulldogs, told me this is all about the work they got in. They knew they would hit the ground running. 61-20 win over Myrtle Beach. Now, Myrtle Beach has a young defense, and they struggled to stop Loris in the Jamboree setting at CMB Kickoff Classic. So I don't know what we're going to get from Myrtle Beach's defense over the course of the season. It didn't look good against Marlboro County. But, yeah, ask me about Carson Roberts. Ask me about any of the receivers for Marlboro County. Ask me about their tailbacks. Ask me about their quarterback. They're all tough in space. I'm telling you, all those guys that I'm talking about for the Bulldogs, they can return punts somewhere on Saturdays. They are impossible to corner. And the way Corey Johnson is working things, he's playing with tempo, trying to get them in space. Think Oregon style 20 years ago, where you're just trying to get athletes in space. That's what they did to Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach couldn't handle it. I think a lot of teams will have trouble handling it. I'm calling 10-plus wins for Marlboro County, deep run in the playoffs. And it's all because of those skill position players and the pass rush on the other side with Jay Nash.
There you go. We turned the page to the Saturday slate. I've got some games for today and Monday. Smitty, I think you have a couple as well to add. Fox Creek at OW is happening right now. At 11 a.m., I see a question in the chat box there about Carolina Forest at West Florence. We obviously talked Carolina Forest a few weeks ago, Smitty, with an opportunity to see them at the CMB. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot. I think that offensive system for Mark Morris has worked. They are on the cusp of breaking through. 11 a.m. start on Saturday. I think that run game, though, travels to West Florence. I'll get your thoughts here in just a minute, Smitty. Also at 11 a.m., Hartsville at Wilson. Then we move into the afternoon slate, 4 p.m. Huff is at Northwestern. I will be on site for that one at District 3 Stadium in Rock Hill. 5 o'clock, Fountain Inn at Greenville will resume. 6 o'clock, Woodruff at Broome will resume from last night. And then kicking off at 6 p.m., Camden at Dillon. Monday night, I've got Columbia Eau Claire at Keenan and Crestwood at Manning. Both of those games at 7 p.m. Smitty, I think that you may have one or two that I missed there. And also your thoughts on maybe Carolina Forest, because we have a question over here from Fighting Camels 7504.
Yeah, Carolina Forest, obviously they're trying to replace, big-time pieces, quarterback, tailback, all-region type players, all-state type players. But really what stood out to me when I saw Carolina Forest play is we know what Mark Morris is going to do. He's always going to have depth. He's always going to have a good offensive line. But what did stand out to me is they're really good on the defensive front. So that's going to keep them in games. I love their pass rush. I love their ability to stop the run. So I suspect that even if it takes a little while for Carolina Forest to get going on the offensive side and get it cranked up the way they have in recent seasons, I do expect them to be able to hang in there defensively, because I don't think it was an illusion what I saw at the CMB kickoff with Carolina Forest in that pass rush against North Myrtle Beach. I got to get a second look at the Chiefs last night, and they're pretty good. They're pretty talented, and they run a good system. So I think the fact that CF was able to get pressure on those quarterbacks, I think that's legit. That wasn't like a jamboree illusion, which we get sometimes, you know, like spring game heroes. That wasn't what I saw. I think Carolina Forest defensive front will keep them in all the games. And then the offense, which is not going to be the strength of the team early, will come along because Mark Morris runs a system and these guys have been in the system. So teams like that usually get better weeks 7, 8, 9 than they are weeks 1, 2, 3 on the offensive side.
No, I agree. I agree, Smitty. And we got a full slate today. Excited to see what happens. Big matchup, South Carolina versus North Carolina, Northwestern, Huff at 4. So many other games peppered throughout the day. Monday night, we will have more action. It's all there for you on fourquarterfriday.com. We've got the recaps. We've got the scores. We've got the upcoming times and schedule changes. Stick with us throughout the week as we will have more and more, Smitty. And we'll be back next Friday. Ready for you. And we'll be back next Saturday as well. Your thoughts as we close out today?
We got the confirmation. Jenkins Dwight. From there, he's got contacts inside Sumter. Franklin Richardson, quarterback for Sumter, got an ankle injury and did not return last night. So we will keep an eye on that. And absolutely, what's the best place to do? Lock in the message board, the Varsity Club at Four Quarter Friday. Get over there and join it because what I find out today is going to land there. So be a part of it. At the Varsity Club, fourquarterfriday.com. Week one is not over. Rob and I will have more going up at fourquarterfriday.com today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. So that's it. We'll wrap up for now, but we'll see you on the message boards and at fourquarterfriday.com.